Hi everyone, Carl Massey here, coach, strategist, author of a few books, and I call myself an educator these days as well. So welcome to this episode of the Life Masterclass podcast series coming to you all the way from beautiful Bali. And as I say that, I always take a glance outside to see what the weather report is. It's a little bit grey, it's been a bit rainy here, but that's cooled it down, so it's lovely here. So hopefully a beautiful day where you are. So welcome to this episode, and I'm going to introduce the other person that you see there. If you're listening to this audio, you can't see them, but there's another person I'm going to be speaking to shortly. I'll introduce them shortly, but what I'm doing with podcasts for this year is I'm like each month four different things. So a book review, I'll talk on a subject, maybe a coaching subject, I'll talk about strategy, I'll do a guided meditation, then I'll have a conversation, a guest conversation. So you'll find out shortly what the guest conversation is for this month. So this is the first one of 2022, so I'm pretty excited about it. So this presentation is inspired by a podcast I was watching of Aubrey Marcus and Dr. Zach Bush. Dr. Zach Bush is one of my fave teachers and has been a favourite teacher of mine, certainly over the last 18 months. His explanation of viruses and what viruses are just was genius for me. So I've written down some notes, like, you know, genetic memory of our potential, all about upgrading and adaption, like the idea that viruses are fragments of DNA and RNA, and then, you know, they come into our body and our, you know, cells decide and determine whether they'll use them and how they'll use them. So they're really about, you know, genetic information, genetic intelligence in order for an upgrade. So I've always loved that, and I've sort of loved that definition, explanation of viruses over the last 18 months. I think it's pretty cool. So the episode I was listening to of this Aubrey Marcus, his podcast, was called The Pandemic of Fear and Guilt. And the guys went in, you know, a couple of different pathways and that sort of stuff. But there was a particular part they talked about in the masculine and feminine archetypes. And, you know, that sort of brought up for me, I'm very much about practical and I always want these podcasts to be super practical. So I thought I wouldn't mind having a conversation about what does it actually physically look like to have the feminine, you know, the rise of the feminine in this age we're going through. So, you know, they talked about, Zach Bush talked about this Ecuadorian, so from Ecuador, Ecuadorian prophecy, and it was like this bird of humanity who's been flying around for a few thousand years, just one wing, the wing of masculine, and maybe that's up to 10,000 years. Like very much the masculine has dominated our planetary and humanity's movement for a long period of time. And the idea that from, in their prophecy from 2012 onwards, the feminine wing starts to unfurl. And with both wings, the masculine, feminine, sort of synchronous, in synchronicity, the bird of humanity starts to fly straight. And that's sort of the process and the evolutionary process we're going through. And so what I thought was I'd have a conversation, you know, the colleague I'm going to introduce, Simone, I've known for a number of years. She did a yoga teacher training in Bali at the practice that I used to be a co-owner at. So I first met her there. Then she worked with me as an apprentice doing a coaching apprenticeship. That was a number of years ago. And then, you know, we've been colleagues for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years as she's been on her coaching journey. She's always been someone that's super grounded. I've always felt that she's, you know, in the feminine. She's got this light bubbliness about her. She's, you know, her laugh just, you know, lights me up. And for the last number of years, I've seen some of the programs that she's run, and she's done these, this work around the feminine. And she'll talk more about that and what she's sort of drawn about that, whether it's been retreats, whether it's been one-on-one work, whether it's been seminars and that sort of stuff. So I thought it would be nice to have a conversation, this is what this is, to see if we can come up with some practical applications of what it actually means to bring out the feminine, or for the feminine to sort of be birthed through us all, and what that looks like for different people. And I'm sort of saying, you know, what does it look like for me as a 52-year-old Australian male to, you know, let this feminine part unfurl? So, you know, I'm looking forward to the conversation and Simone's perspective on that. So thank you very much for joining me, Simone. And maybe if you give a little bit of a background about some of the work that you've done and anything else that you want to add to give a bit of foundation to where you're going to be coming from.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you very much for this introduction. It was really lovely to hear where you're coming from. Yeah, first and foremost, I also love Dr. Zach Bush. He's also one of my favorite teachers in a moment, because I think he is very much the male embodiment of this rise of the feminine. And I love it. Like, I love your approach that you know that the rise of the feminine is not only for women, it's for us as humans. And that is, yeah, that's just so important that we bring in this topic into the man's world as well. So for me, I mainly work with women at the moment because I just think that, especially as a woman, we thought we need to be better men. So with all of the, like, women are getting more successful, and we have the opportunities to have a really good education, we can go to university, and we are we can do it our own way, right? Like the feminine, like the feminist way of the last years, that we just get out of this role that we are just mothers, that we are like we are like the
housewife.
Yeah, the housewife, exactly. We can be our own. We can do whatever we want, right?
Yeah.
I think this feminist movement is very important, but for me, it's actually pretty masculine. It's not really what the feminine is.
Interesting.
Because for me, the feminine is really about letting go of control, letting go of the how, and really focusing on the present moment, on joy, on pleasure, and on feeling. And for me, it's really about coming into our body. And when I look especially at women, how they are like in a fight and how they are disconnected from their bodies. And I've been there before, like, very much. Like, I can remember when I did my coaching apprenticeship with you, I was so, like, I was in such a big fight with my body and with my health and digestion problems and weight gain. And I was really not feeling myself. I thought, I need to be successful, I want to be a coach, I want to help other people, I want to do this, I want to do that, I have these goals, and da 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 da, and then I do it like step by step, da, 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 da. But I was really not connected to my body, to my feminine. And so I think it's, so my journey was so interesting the last years, and I am just super grateful that I can do this work, because it feels like an initiation and an activation for me, for myself. And through my work and through my business, I really discover every single day where I am still scared of really allowing myself to trust, to receive, to feel what is here, to be present, to slow down, and to not always be in this doing
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because we've had thousands of years of this masculine archetype and this masculine energy, so there's a lot of stuff for us to undo. And I just want to say, like, at the outset too, like, as a coach, I've worked with different genders, different nationalities, people with different sexual persuasions. So we don't want to get caught up in all of that stuff, like there's man, woman, and this applies to man and woman. This really is about the integration of the masculine and feminine that exists within us as human beings. And I think it was interesting in that conversation with Zach and Aubrey, they were talking about relationships. And, you know, one thing for me I've always thought about in the relationship is I need to have a relationship with the divine where I feel that I'm complete before I step into that relationship. Because if I step in that relationship feeling incomplete, then I'm generally wanting that partner and I'm drawn to that partner, which I think has got the thing that I'm missing. And they talk about, you know, in this conversation, like when that happens, we tend to suck out that part in the other person. We sort of drain them of that particular thing. So I really think it is the integration of self. And over the years when I was first coaching, I worked with a lot of women that would, in inverted commas, be called type A women who were very successful professionally and doing some amazing stuff professionally. But I worked with a lot of them because there was something missing in that experience that they were having. So whether it came forward as a health thing or whether it was an anxiety thing or something like that. And what I tended to find was, and I made up this terminology, and it was women logicalizing stuff. So they'd have some intuitive sense, which I think is very much part of the feminine, this intuitive feelingness, that would come up and then they would get their brain and their heads into it, their intellect into it, and they would logicalize. So they're intuiting a certain thing and that gets up to their head and then they logicalize that and say, oh, no, that doesn't make sense, and then suppressing it back down again. So, you know, a lot of these women that were suppressing that part, which I thought was, you know, very much a feminine superpower, the superpower of the intuitive feelings and really staying grounded and feeling what feels right, and rather than being rigid and very linear and very Newtonian in our approach, like this quantum idea, this flex and this flow. And, you know, Zach Bush mentioned the feminine is more about process and, you know, everything grows and flourishes if I'm just here fully present, doing the best with what I've got. It works itself out, where the masculine is very much about goal-oriented. And the other point I want to raise before I'm going to hand the mic back to Simone to see what my little thing has brought up is, he'd mentioned the idea that the masculine needs to crumble and dominant systems might need to crumble in order for the feminine to rise within this. So what's that bring up for you, or where do you want to take the conversation with that?
Yeah. You know, I believe it sounds pretty nice, right? When you say intuition and you have this inner knowing and also like being present in the moment, allow yourself to slow down, allow yourself to do the things that bring you joy, that truly bring you joy. But it's not easy, right? It's not that easy. And no. Why is it not that easy? Because we still have it ingrained in us, that's at least what's coming up for me, that we somehow need to prove ourselves. We somehow need to prove our worth. We somehow need to do something so we are safe. And I think a lot of the times it is connected with money.
Yeah.
So we think we need to do something. So we receive money, or we create money, or we get paid for what we do, and then we feel safe. And when I look at society, this money game, or this fear of not making enough money, is so huge. It's so huge. I mean, I think everything is actually built on debt.
Yeah.
Because, like, okay, you need, so you are human, so you need to have a job, right? But how does that feel? Like, you need to have a job. You need to do something. You need to do something to get money, because without money, you cannot survive. Yesterday, so my friend who lives with me in my apartment, he was selling a computer online, and a guy picked it up. And then my friend said to him, yeah, enjoy it. Like, have fun with your computer. And then this guy said, yeah, you know, I'm not having fun because I'm using it for work. And I was like, wow, that is really interesting, right? That this is so ingrained also in our society, that work is not fun. It's just something that we need to do so we can receive money, or can create money, and then we are safe. And then when we are safe, then we maybe have a little, like, a little bit of our time left, not that much, because we need to work like 70% of our time. Then we have a little bit of our time left where we need to do some chores, and then maybe a little bit of time left to enjoy, to really enjoy life.
I mean the money conversation brings up the idea of whether that's a very masculine thing, the old money, because it's very much associated with value. You're of this value, of you're of that value, and because you're of that value, you get this bit of recognition for that thing. So again, very linear, very goal. And, you know, if we want to get into this experience of the feminine, letting go of attachment to some of those systems, and maybe it's our relationship with that thing we call money, how do we change that? Or, like, what do we need to work on? I mean, this is, you know, the keeping it practical thing, like, how's the money thing and feminine?
So, working? I think we really need to change our approach to money, and we need to see money in a different way, in a feminine way, because now we think we need to do something so we can create money, right?
Yeah.
And often this doing is not something that we really enjoy. It's just something that we need to do. So I think how we can see this another way is, what is a job? Like, what is a business? If you look at the grand picture.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the other day, if I am just a soul on this planet, and I've been put on this planet, and with millions of other, billions of other souls, what are we doing here? Are we, or can it be that we are just souls, that we help each other to navigate through life, because we have not gotten a game plan, right? We, like, in our, like, our whole lives, we are figuring out how to do this thing called life. And we are actually here to help each other.
Yeah.
And out of this helping each other, we are creating jobs. We are creating businesses.
Yeah.
But actually this can come natural, right?
Yeah.
Because we all love to do different things. We are all here to do different things. We all have different gifts. And these gifts, they feel joyful. Like, to give them, to be of service, like, out of that place, it feels joyful. It feels beautiful. It feels like we are in this together as a community. And if we do something out of that place that comes natural, it doesn't have to be with this force, like, okay, I need to do that, I need to be creative, I need to because if I don't do that, I'm not safe. So I think we really need to allow ourselves to come from this place of, okay, like, let go of the belief of the story that you have to do anything. You don't need to do anything. Yeah. You don't need to do anything. You are already safe. You are so safe. Like, look at this planet. Look at this beauty in nature, this abundance in nature. Nature is so abundant. Look at the flowers. Look at the vegetables, the herbs, the fruits. Everything is just here for you to enjoy, to play with it. It's here to enjoy. Like, we need to realize that, that this life and nature is just so magical, and it's free. It's fucking free. It doesn't cost anything. And just like feel this, like feel this abundance, and you don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn it to play with it. You don't need to work. You don't need to do something to play with this abundance. Just by being here on this planet, it's really like this. Yeah. It's really our birthright.
Yeah.
It's really our birthright to play with this, to play with this abundance, to play with what is already here. And when you just soak this up and get into this feeling of, oh my God, it's so beautiful. It feels so rich. It feels so abundant. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to prove my worth. I don't need to create. I just can play. And trust me, out of this feeling, naturally, you want to do something. You want to be in service. You want to create something. And I think that is what we need to do.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah.
But before we can do that, before we can play, we need to know what is holding us back. Like, what are the fears? Like, what are the stories? And I bet for most of us, it is the story that we don't feel safe because of this money thing.
Yeah.
So,
validation.
Allow yourself to feel safe, like hold yourself, like especially when this pattern comes up that you need to do something, you need to control, you need to catch yourself when you're telling yourself those stories, breathe into it and just change it. Like, tell yourself another story that you are safe right now, right here, right now.
Yeah, I mean, that when you were talking, that brought up a couple of things for me. The first was getting out of cities and going more into the land and that sort of stuff. So where the cities are a construct of this, you know, masculine thing, and they're like, again, there's so many things that need to crumble in order for, you know, this birthing process, life to, you know, birth forward, and it's just waiting to do so. It doesn't need any extra stuff. It just needs some of that stuff to fall. So trying to fix systems like Tinkram, I think it requires like completely destruction of some systems and that.
Just one thing to that, because of this crumbling, that is very important. Because when we really do that, what I just said, then we realize, oh my God, like, we do so many things that we just don't fucking need.
Well, that was my next point, was like overconsumption. Like, when we actually stop being a consumer, when we take ourselves out of the cult program of we need more stuff and, you know, social comparison, and there's something wrong with us if we don't have this and that sort of thing. So if we get out of that, then, you know, our needs come down to this. So then there's not the need to earn this amount of money, because we've realized we don't have the need for all these trimmings and trappings, and I don't need a house that's so big when I'm 5'4" and I take up, you know, this amount of space. I don't need all these extra stuff. There's a book I'm going to share, like, I'll put it in the show notes and that, called Ubuntu, I think it's called, the terminology. So South Africa and African terminology. And the author was looking at, you know, creating a community that didn't depend on money. And he spent, you know, a lot of years looking at this, studying into the different parts and pieces. And there was, you know, very much a community who would decide, you know, the directions of things within the community, like a group of elders and that sort of stuff. And it wasn't necessarily a vote of, you know, the 51% vote gets the lead. It's like taking everything as individuals. There's lots of different parts of it, so I could talk on it for quite some time. But the point I want to sort of look at was they're saying, okay, if we took this money thing out, and he talked about staging it, so again, there's more pieces. But he said when he looked at it, like if everyone did their labor of love, they would only need to do it for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week to create enough for the entire community. And then, you know, if everyone in the community did a community project, which was supported of the community, everyone would only need to do about 2 to 3 hours, you know, 1 day a week. So when you look at, you know, if we're not over-consuming and we're looking at enough, like you really don't need to have all of those hours where you're like working to perform to earn money to buy stuff you don't need. When you actually flip it and actually work out what's my enough, what do I need, then I only need to do this. Then if I look at finding that thing that is my labor of love, so I actually enjoy showing up there. And again, if I'm doing my labor of love, I don't mind it expanding or contracting. I don't mind if it's, I only need to do 2 or 3 hours, but I do 6 hours because it just, I just lost time in it because I sort of love, whether it's, you know, making furniture, whether it's working on water purification project, whether it's the gardening part, whether it's the farming part, whether it's doing roofing, whether it's building houses, like everyone likes different stuff. So sort of saying within the community, like everyone, there's the person who loves tinkering on motorbikes, there's the person who loves doing upholstery work, there's a person, like, you know, within the community with the right sort of number, they're like everything's covered. And someone says, oh, you know, I need a new couch and I'd like it like this. And the person who makes couches loves making couches and makes them, and that gets delivered. And that person who had the couch delivered, they're offering some other service that serves the rest of the community. Quite a fascinating thing. And, you know, he's actually been talking to investors at quite a high level and looking at creating these communities. And it is a pretty fabulous thing. And again, I think cities are very masculine, linear, goal-oriented, over-consuming resources, like just sucking. As Zach Bush, he would compare, you know, cities to cancers, to tumours, where they're over-consuming and they have to suck in things from all around them. So this community where there's this abundance flow, it just, that's the growth thing, and that's the life you talked about, providing this abundance of everything we need, like it just grows in abundance. You know, Mother Nature, if it's left to its own device, it provides more of what it needs. It just, we need more of this plant, or we need this. There's a radioactive freaking waste over here, so let's grow more sunflowers, which absorb and, you know, process or whatever. So I think, yeah, it's this allowing, and, you know, we've got some really strong programming that we need to disentangle ourselves from, this, you know, high performing this. And we had a conversation about it, Simone and I, easy to get sucked into the program, which, you know, teaches you how to make, you know, six figures and that sort of stuff. If you're not consciously paying attention, you easily get drawn back into those old programs that we've been built on in order, I think, for us to be good consumers, in order to keep the economy growing and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So I think, again, we probably need some economies to fall down. We need some systems to fall down. We need to see the health system fall down, the education system fall down, the government system, all of these things, so we can reimagine what they are like and how they exist in this coexistent relationship between the masculine and feminine, where they work in synchronicity and in harmony.
Yes.
Yeah. Mike, back your way, Simone.
Yeah, so true. I mean, the systems need to crumble. They need to crumble because when people are more connected to themselves, and I think there is, yeah, it is definitely happening, then they are getting rebellious, right? So yeah. Because they don't, so when you are connected to yourself, I think you just don't want to follow the rules because you want to create the life that you feel. And it's also different for all of us because we are different, we are unique. But also I think one thing that we have in common is that we are just, I mean, it's not that I think, I know that we are just part of nature. We are nature.
Yeah.
And I think what cities do and also what our education system does, it kind of disconnects us from that knowing.
Yeah.
And it separates us also as humans. Because when you look at cities, like I think in Germany, it is like 70% are living in a single household. 70 fucking percent are living in a single household. Like, can you imagine that? Also, how we are raising children.
It's
often just one person, like one parent or two parents are raising children. I think that is not natural. It's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming for our
system. Yeah.
And then also if we don't, we are not in nature and if we cannot recalibrate, it's even more overwhelming. And when we're just in our heads and not in our body, it's even more overwhelming. I mean, I think we as a society are just so stressed out and we are just so overwhelmed by everything that we think we need to do, by everything that we think we need to be, by everything we think we need to achieve, we need to prove. And it's just not natural.
Yeah.
And also what I want to say is what is really important when we think about this money thing, when you do what you love, and this is a process, like this is also really important. This is a process, like doing what you love. As I said, it sounds so easy, but we need to let go of all the programs first, or in the process, not first, but in the process. Like, as I said, like in my business, every day I realize where I am scared. Every fucking day I realize, I realize where I am holding myself back from enjoying, from doing what I love, from being in the moment, from being present.
Yeah.
This is a process. But what is really important is that when you learn to do what you really enjoy, you are going to be rewarded. You are going to be rewarded with money. I believe definitely, like, don't make money evil. It is, like, in this game where we are right now, it is a resource that gives us freedom, and that's beautiful, right?
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's just an energy exchange.
Yeah,
and we need to allow ourselves to exchange energy in that form. And money is not evil. It's just what you do with it may become evil.
Yeah.
But also money gives you power, and power is also not evil. Power is also beautiful if you are coming from love. Because because then you can make a huge impact with money.
Yeah.
And we need to change the systems and imagine if people that are connected to their hearts, to their soul, and want to create something beautiful, if they have the power, if they have money, they are creating beautiful, really amazing new systems. So we need to allow ourselves to receive resources in that form. And maybe in the future reality, there is no money anymore. Maybe.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But right now we are in this money game and we need to learn to play with it.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be like slaves of the system.
Yeah.
We don't have to be slaves of money.
Yeah.
We really need to switch that and trust that if I am doing the things that my soul is calling me to do, then I am going to be rewarded by the universe. I'm going to be resourced because the universe, nature, everything wants us to step into this. It wants us to step into our gifts.
Yeah. And I think we, once we come back into alignment with self, So there might not be things we need to do in order to integrate the masculine and feminine. It might actually be getting silent. It might actually be spending time in nature and just letting ourselves reintegrate with nature. At a cellular level, our cells not fighting with the microorganisms. There's more microorganisms in our body than there are cells in our body. Just sitting still. So there might be less that we need to do in order for us to come back into, and, you know, the body at a physiological level comes back into homeostasis. Maybe the same thing happens when we start shedding a few of these layers and coming back into silence, coming back into alignment with soul purpose and that sort of thing. Then we come into this beautiful dance of the masculine and feminine, get less caught up in what's external to us, get less caught up in consumerism. And that's, you know, for me, very practical thing in this conversation is, you know, this conversation about money. If we can reduce our needs, like, you know, taking our expenses down, those things that we don't need, and that may require us to unplug from, you know, marketing messages and that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. get down to, you know, what we actually essentially need, then we don't have to have those high-paying salaries to cover off this thing. Then we might have the flexibility in our life to go into those endeavors and those ventures and try those things as we figure out what is our labor of love. And as Simone said, that can be a process. So again, being okay with the process of like, oh, no, it's not that way, I just back up. Oh, okay, it's not that way, I back up. Oh, it just needs a bit of tweaking. So it might be time, it might take time for us to evolve into what that looks like, what our labor of love looks like, and how aligned it is with self. So again, I think, you know, for me, practically, this idea, you know, and I'm big on meditation and daily meditation, reducing the effects of electromagnetic frequency so we can come back into ourselves, this spending time in nature, getting out of cities and plugging in. And I, you know, I think that without us needing to do anything, I think that takes us in the direction of the integration and expression of the feminine through each of us, you know, regardless of gender, regardless of any of those other things going on.
Yes, and you know, the feminine is all about receiving, not doing. And the question, I mean, I really get that. I'm also very practical, but when you say, like, what does that mean? Like, what does that even mean? Like, how do I need to do that? Like, how can I connect to my feminine? This is a very masculine question that wants to control it, right? But I get that very much. And it's also good. But, you know, like the other day I was sitting in my bath and for a very long time. And then suddenly, like, it also takes a while to really get into stillness and or come back to stillness. And then it's so fascinating for me that out of this stillness, and that can be in the bath, in the shower, when you take a massage, or when you are in nature, out of this I just receive the best ideas. I want to be creative, right? I receive ideas. I'm singing. I want to create music, whatever. Yeah, that is for you. But it comes out of this, of these moments where you don't force yourself to get the answer. We don't force yourself to do something, and we just trust and relax. Like breathwork, for example, is also an amazing tool for that, because it really allows you to get into this place of complete peace and silence and stillness, where you're just not thinking, what do I need to do? Because you don't need to do it. Like, that is the key. You don't need to do it. But it's a process to get into this very yummy places. And also one thing that I wanted to say, I forgot, maybe it comes back.
Okay. Yeah, because I think the idea of the creative, like, that's definitely part of the feminine, and that stepping back and not doing and allowing yourself to receive. Absolutely. I would say the same thing. That's one of the reasons I love to meditate. I just, you know, it might be during the meditation, might be after the meditation, like I just have my most awesome insights. And again, I'm not trying to pull those out. I'm not trying to force them through or anything like that. You know, that for me is, you know, this power that exists within us, and it just gets birth in this creative process. And I was going to make a distinction before too, like the difference, you know, power can be a beautiful thing, and I like making a distinction. I like there's power and then there's force. And those, you know, you can feel the difference in those words. Power can be a beautiful thing. The word has probably got a little bit corrupted because, you know, we think of the powerful and that can take us off in different directions. But, you know, this pure, raw, you know, power, this quantum energy, this expansiveness, you know, think love. It's like this infinite power that just keeps, there's no limit or limitation to it. So, you know, we need to look at our relationship with language as well, so we're not triggered by those words to, you know, to go down different pathways. Now, I'm conscious of time, and I'm conscious of your time. I'm conscious of the listeners' time as well. I'm not even sure of what duration people are most interested in participating in, so I'm going to leave it certainly less than an hour. And, you know, we could talk for a good period of time, and it might be that we revisit this conversation part two in 3 or 6 months' time and see where it takes us. Because in this ever-changing world experience we're having, you know, who knows in 3 months, 6 months' time, what shifts are going on, what we're actually observing, what systems are crumbling, you know, what is being birthed and all that sort of stuff. So this conversation can definitely continue. So thank you so much for it. Have you got any parting things you'd like to say before I put a bow around this thing and wrap it up?
Yes, I remembered what I wanted to say before. So you said something about reducing your expenses. I think what is also really important for that piece, to not come out of this lack mentality, like, oh,
yeah, scarcity.
Expenses, yeah, from scarcity. You can come from love, because also this has to do with power. You have the power over your expenses, right? Yeah. You have the power over your investments. So think about it that way, that every time you pay something, just pay something that brings you joy. And with everything, right? With everything, you have the control over this. You have the power over this. And I think that is a very beautiful practice, because it also shows that you may invest in some things that you don't even use, like, for example, like subscriptions or something, or another coaching program as well. Like, I'm also often guilty of that, that I, like, impulse, like out of this impulse, I buy a coaching program or invest in a coaching program, and it feels good in that moment, but then I realize I don't even have space for it. I don't really have time for it. And you need the space, right? For everything that you invest your money in, you need the space. So you actually need to create the space. You need to let go of something and ask yourself, like, really, do I have the space? Does that bring me joy right now? Is this divine timing at the moment? Or do I say, and then we come back to the power of language, right now I'm choosing not to invest in that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you cannot afford it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you don't have the money for it.
But
right now I'm choosing not to do that.
Yeah. I mean, the podcast that I did on book review was on the book called Your Money or Your Life, which talks about getting clarity over how you spend your money and then asking questions at the end of the month. Did this particular line item bring me joy? Did it take me closer to my life purpose? Is it taking me in the direction I'd love my life to, you know, evolve into? Like, those questions, we bring conscious awareness to how we're using this energy thing called money. So Yeah, so do check out that as well. I was going to say, like, I'll put down in the show notes as well links to Simone and Simone's work so you can get in contact with Simone. Simone also, unlike me, has Instagram accounts and some of that other social media show going on. She has this beautiful Blossomy journal that she's created over the last few years, and it's a gorgeous piece as well. So do check that out at Simone's website. Any parting words before we wrap up, Simone? It's always a pleasure to spend time with you, and it just feels very groovy and very light, and, you know, that's what we want more of in life, is just that sort of juicy, joyful, that thing.
Yeah.
We know what we're talking about.
Yes, yeah, I love it too. I love it very much too. You know, one thing that I want to say is, can you tap into this part of you that knows that everything in your lives goes on plan? Because it really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
And I feel this so much right now, like also in life, like on this planet, even like when you look at the grand picture.
Yeah.
I have these moments where I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this source that created us?
Yeah.
Like, what did they think? Like, it's
yeah.
like a joke. Like, we
yeah.
humans, we are just destroying everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can feel depressing, actually. And
yeah.
it feels so helpless, like we destroy
yeah.
all the magic. But I believe everything goes
yeah.
on plan, like everything
yeah.
and everything yeah. is just a human experience, even in these moments where it feels challenging and where it feels hard and where you feel that
yeah.
you are not moving forward, or where you're just forcing yourself, where you put so much pressure on yourself, where you cannot find this love and acceptance for yourself, for your journey. This is all part of this game and of this life experience, and I'm so sure there is a part of you that knows everything is okay right
yeah.
now. Everything will be okay.
Yeah.
And everyone, every soul on this planet, the earth, will be fine and is fine.
Yeah. I totally agree. So a beautiful message for us to finish up on. Thank you, everyone, for joining me for the Life Masterclass this time. If you've got any questions for me, don't hesitate to reach out. If you'd like a helping hand, don't hesitate to reach out. And if you're interested in going deeper with work with me, jump on my website and check out what I've got there. I've got a 9-month coaching program coming up, and there's still some places for that. So check that out. So, again, thank you very much, Simone. Thank you very much, everyone, tuning into this. Have an absolutely fantastic day wherever you are on this beautiful, gorgeous, incredible planet of ours. All the very best, and take care.